Hello, everybody. Welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. I'm Kirk Henderson, joined by Josh Bow. We're coming to you at just before midnight, which we haven't had to say in quite some time. Josh, how are you?
Oh, hanging in there. Good to see your face. Good to talk to you. Yeah. We actually haven't talked in a while, with like the break and you taking a well-deserved night off. And yeah,
and I mean, my wife made a dinner reservation, was like, hey, do you want to be back early enough? And Josh was like, no, just take off.
No,
so we went and ate too much food at, you know, she picked that place. She picked, what did I say? It's Bob's Steak and Chop House.
Yep.
And she picked that place because that's apparently been Cooper's favorite restaurant since he came to Dallas. And I had never eaten at it before. And that was quite the experience. I had a good time. But you had to cover an overtime game that was apparently so long that you thought it was a double overtime game, which made me laugh out loud. Yeah. And then we're here tonight, our second straight overtime game. Mavericks lose to the Warriors 137-131. We're just going to get this part out of the way up front so we don't seem insensitive. Warriors forward Moses Moody suffered a non-contact knee injury on a breakaway following a steal, which would have effectively ended the game. And it's one of the more gruesome knee injuries. All knee injuries make me pretty bleh. This one was definitely up there because play continued. Nobody stopped the play. And then I don't think that the cameraman understood how fucked up his knee was because they panned to him immediately and the shot lingered for like 5 seconds. And it just didn't look good. And we hope he's okay. He was obviously, you know, we're talking on our Slack. Like, I've suffered a pretty gruesome knee injury. Tyler has suffered a pretty gruesome knee injury. And like, the knee is not attached to anything other than ligaments. So when things go awry with the knee, they can go like very bad. And like that happened to Sean Livingston's injury way back in the day was so violent. He nearly lost his leg. And so I don't think it was like quite to that level, but it was definitely one of these things that makes you go, oh fuck. And so Don't seek it out. You might, because people on the internet are bad. Don't see, like, it will wreck your morning if you're listening to this the next day. So just wanted to get that part out of the way. And then we can talk a little bit about the game.
Yeah, that sucked. And then also, this is the third straight year that an NBA player has suffered a devastating, catastrophic leg injury on the American Airlines Center floor.
Really?
Yeah, because you mentioned it in Slack, so I looked it up. Taylor Hendricks had the fractured fibula, dislocated ankle in 2024.
That was horrible.
Yes, awful, awful, awful. Kyrie Irving tore his ACL 2025 last year, and now 2026, this one. So. Yeah.
Just pointing it out for like sign of reference, not in, but we're not, there's nothing that, you know,
I'm not smart enough to say that this is, that there's a reason why. I just,
well, we were all kind of freaking out during when this thing happened because they had been so worried about cleaning up condensation. So all of us thought he kind of slipped or something like that. But this, they just, when they did show the replay, his leg just like his knee just, it was not good.
Yeah.
All right, so Dallas Mavericks shot 64% in the first half of a basketball game and lost that basketball game. This was, I got to tell you, you pointing out that the Mavericks have these occasional like offensive explosions. If you're tuning in for a late night Monday basketball game because you're just a sicko and you really have to be watching this one as a Mavs fan, this was about as good of a game from start to finish up until Moody's injury that you really could have hoped for. And if you're on the tanking side of things where you want Dallas to lose and you still want to be entertained, this was that. Like, there's actually a lot that happened in this game. And I think we could kind of take this in a lot of different directions because I don't know. I was pretty pissed that I had signed up for the recap weeks ago. I don't really want to write anything anymore just because who wants to cover this team? And then I ended up having a nice time. Like, it was a fun one to watch. How do you think we should talk about this one?
Yeah, it was fun. We could probably start with Cooper and then go on down to what happened at the end of the fourth quarter and overtime. It is truly crazy that the Mavericks basically shot, I mean, they still finished 51 of 87, so 59%, basically 60%. So they were 60% from the floor, 44% from three on 36 attempts, and they lose by six. Like, that's really hard to do. So there's that part of it. And both teams combined, I think, for 124 points in the paint, if I'm looking at that.
There were so many stupid statistics.
Each had 62. They're just defense, like these, you know, the Mavericks haven't been able to guard the paint for a while, and they're also a pretty ferocious paint attacking team because they can't shoot, so they kind of have to.
Though they could shoot tonight, apparently.
No, I know, and that's why, like, for them to lose a game where they had 62 points in the paint and made 16 three-pointers, like, that's that's ungodly. Like, that's
I mean, this game was effectively lost. Sign of the apocalypse. Where this game was lost was the Mavericks were dominated on the glass, 49-26, and then they lose this game by 6 points. The Warriors had
17 offensive rebounds.
God, and then I don't even know how many second chance points, but it's like, because you're some of these stats, some of these stats just get comical. The teams combined, and they're separated by one of each of these, total turnovers 47 between the two teams. Points conceded off of turnovers 59 between the two teams. So it's like they were awful, but they were awful together.
Warriors had 23 second chance points. The Mavericks had 8. So there's the game.
That was the game. Yeah. And it was nearly the game before overtime. And Draymond Green just cowardly offensive basketball from him. He gets like a layup and then does a jump. Just hangs Porzingis out to dry. It's not a bad pass, shockingly, but like a jump bounce pass underneath the goal to Porzingis, who just is like, what the fuck? And then shoots it over the rim. I mean, it was, I was cracking up watching this game. The first half, the Mavericks really stuck it to the Warriors. The statistical profile kind of held throughout the game, but the Mavericks they were up by 15 points at one point in the second quarter. And they just kept punishing the Warriors from the 3-point range and from, you know, within the paint too. And then you're watching the game in the second quarter, the Warriors whittle it down to about 6 points. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, it's going to become a game now. Then the Warriors shard on themselves two possessions in a row. Cause they had the turn, like the Mavericks turnovers. I can't chart this right now, but the Mavericks did not inherit the turnover bug until about 4 minutes left in the third quarter. And then I think they quickly caught up to the Warriors. But anyway, in the first half, the Mavericks go down. The Mavericks are all of a sudden up 10 because the Warriors just can't get out of their own way. I mean, I understand the Warriors are down Steph Curry and they're down Jimmy Butler. Al Horford didn't play. It was kind of a weird game for them. But their offense is so difficult to guard, and the Mavericks' defensive principles are stored somewhere under the American Airlines Center because they just don't have any right now. And I was just cracking up in the first half, and I did not think the Mavericks were going to lose this one. We can talk about how that happened when the game started to get out of hand for the Mavericks in the third quarter. But this was a very silly, I know we said we were going to talk about Cooper. It's my fault for like redirecting it back into like how the Mavericks lost. But I was just shocked with how effective the Mavericks were in that first half.
Yeah. The Warriors are kind of in a bad way, without Steph, Jimmy Butler's hurt. So their offense is touchy, and their defense, like, it's Draymond, and it's sometimes that feels like that's kind of all it is. Obviously, they have still good, like, you know, Booty's decent. Porzingis is a decent rim protector. Gary Payton is
a lot of length.
Yeah. I mean, they can ratchet it up when they want to, and they weren't doing it in the first half, and the Mavericks were kind of having their way with them. And then the third quarter felt like they came out of halftime, and they're like, okay, like that's enough of this full court press. And it helps that the Mavericks basically didn't play a point guard all game. Although in the 17 minutes Ryan Nimhard played, the Mavericks didn't really do too much of anything of consequence. So again, this game was, you know, it's very important to have a point guard. Like, the Mavericks basically played Cooper and Najee Marshall as their primary ball handlers for this whole game. Those two combined for 15 turnovers. So that's what, 15 of their 23 turnovers? Yeah, 15 of their 23 turnovers. So even though the turnovers were like when you look at the team turnovers, they're pretty even. The fact that the Mavericks had so many concentrated from the two guys that were probably touching the ball the most all game, I don't know, just felt worse. I don't know if that means anything. but it felt worse. You know, Cooper's bringing the ball up against the full court press and turning it over. Najee, like, you know, these, they're not point guards, and it's Kidd doing the trial by fire. It's him doing, cause he, you know, he did it with Giannis and it worked with Giannis. So he's doing it here. And if you question him about it, he'll tell you that he knows more than you and he's a Hall of Fame point guard. And I can't really, you know, I don't really blame him. Like, it worked with Giannis. Like, why wouldn't it work again? And this season is lost. Like, they,
it also well didn't do... work until well after he was gone.
Yeah, that's fair. you know, that was part of where they lost the game. And yeah. I'm curious to talk about, like, the last possession. Everyone's talking about the last possession to end the game in regulation.
I would rather talk about the start of the fourth quarter.
Okay.
So the third quarter, the Mavericks just sort of peter out at the end of the third quarter after being up 10 the majority of the period. Like, the Warriors would cut in, the Mavericks would answer. And then the turnover bug happens and everybody starts losing the ball the last 4 minutes. All of a sudden, it's 98 all heading into the fourth quarter. The first three possessions of the fourth quarter, and this is where the game was decided, in my opinion, Cooper flagged three straight turnovers. The Mavericks didn't even get a shot off. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, our man Jack and some of the other Mavs Moneyball writers are quite correct in that Cooper was getting mugged. He's just getting hammered out there. But we have our choice here, and where we can have the same conversation about how Jason Kidd doesn't really protect his players actively during the game, or we can do what we're going to do, which is acknowledge that it sucks and then continue talking about the game. Because we can't change it, but just know that we see it. So from there, the Mavericks not only had three straight turnovers, they also were all of a sudden down 109 to 98. And so that was painful. And, you know, I kind of figured the Mavericks would lay down and die at that point. Because, I mean, it really took the air out of the room there. You could tell at American Airlines Center. And then, of course, they do the thing the Mavericks do, which is find themselves all the way back down in it. They were up 122 to 114 after a Porzingis putback. Kidd calls a timeout and pretty clearly looks like he is frustrated with Flagg for not taking an open three-pointer in the previous possession. They drew up a play for a Flagg three-pointer. Flagg nails a three. Max Christie gets a steal on the inbounds. And not inbounds, kind of a center court there just because the Warriors were loosey-goosey with the ball. And the Mavericks have a chance, and they end up tying the game 126 all on a flag pass to Max Christie. And then the Mavericks get the ball back on a loose ball scramble and sort of take it from there with about 18 seconds left.
Yeah. So it's Cooper Flagg attacking from the right side of the floor towards the middle, has a step on his man. Kristaps Porzingis steps in to the paint to meet him. Cooper passes it to a wide open Najee Marshall. And Najee basically misses the three right at the buzzer. And Najee was 2 of 6 from three. So he was, I don't remember if he shot any threes in overtime. So he was at least 2 of 5 from three before he shot that, which is like a good percentage for him. I see a lot of hand wringing, you know, the NBC, I saw a little bit of the NBC post game, talk about the play, and they all their analysts were like, yeah, you know, he's got to take that shot. He's got to be the man. And it reminds me a lot of, like, this always happened with LeBron.
Donyell Marshall. I remember where I was in college hearing ESPN talking heads beat the shit out of him for this. He's like, he passed to an open Donyell Marshall who missed a corner three.
Yeah. This wasn't, you know, there was that this happened similarly. I can't remember how many games ago it was, but this happened exactly with Najee. And Cooper passed it to Najee. Najee shot a three and the Mavericks lost. That was the final possession of the game. This one was even more wide open than that one. And that one was the previous one was still pretty wide open. Like, I think this is less about, like, should Cooper pass or, like, yes, Cooper should have passed it. Like he had a step on his man, but he was driving into a 7-4 shot blocker. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how easy of a floater that would have been, you know, an 8-foot floater, you know, 5 to 8 foot
high
floater with a 7-4 guy coming over to help. Like, you pass it to the open guy and he's supposed to shoot it and hopefully make it. The problem isn't that he passed it. The problem is just the Mavericks' longstanding issue of the roster construction, which predates Cooper Flagg. And this was a roster built for a different player than Cooper Flagg. This was a roster built for a different team. And they're kind of tearing it apart bit by bit to rebuild it around Cooper, but it's not going to happen this season. But that play was just a good encapsulation of like why this current group, you know, why this Mavericks team is 23-48, why they're not going to make the play-in, why they're not going to be in the playoff picture. It just doesn't work. It doesn't fit. The pieces don't fit. There's a lot of individually talented players, but they don't mesh well together. And I talked about this with Jack on one of the pods that he filled in for you, and he made a really good point. And it's kind of stuck with me since he said it, and I've repeated it on these pods, and people are probably tired of me repeating it, but it was a good point. And I want him to, you know, I want his good point to be recognized. But he talked about like the PJ Najee Cooper trio on the floor at the same time. Like, it just doesn't work in the sense of like, that's three non-shooters. Mm-hmm. And Cooper can hit some threes occasionally, and so can PJ. But when I say non-shooters, I'm talking about in terms of how is the defense guarding you? Because PJ might make 37-38% of his threes, but is he being guarded, you know, like a high volume,
nope,
you know, three-point shot maker? No. Najee clearly isn't. Cooper clearly isn't. And even Cooper, like, if he improves his three, like, is he ever going to be at that point where defenses are going to be like, let's sell out to stop him from shooting a three? Because he's going to be like in that, like, you know, I'm not, you know.
Yeah. They'll seed the three.
LeBron became like a good three-point shooter, but, like, if your push comes to shove, what are you giving LeBron? You're giving him a three over him going to the basket where he's most deadly. So it's really hard. I think it's really hard to have functional offense with those three on the floor at the same time. Having said that, the Mavericks were shooting 60% from the floor for most of the game, so they obviously got around it in some ways. But that possession was just like a reminder of when push comes to shove, it's going to be really easy for defenses to make that choice. Do we want Cooper to have a clean shot going toward the basket, or do we want, you know, a 30% three-point shooter to shoot a wide open three-pointer? The decision's easy, and I don't fault Coop for making the pass. They're going to have to build a roster where the guy catching that pass and shooting that shot isn't a 29% three-point shooter.
Yeah, and it, that's easier to fix than you might think, but it's not
going to get fixed now.
Right, it's not going to get fixed now. All right, we're going to be right back. We're going to take a short break, and then I have a Cooper flag thought that I'd like to just sort of talk about here. Three ways to support the show. First is really easy. Listen to the ads Josh and I are going to put in here. If you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, if you're here on the live show, you can just wait 5 seconds as I stare into the screen. Second way is tell your friends. We have folks from all over the world to join the show. Shout out to Jerry in the chat, asking some college related questions that Josh and I are not prepared to answer. Third way to support the show, if you're feeling really weird and generous, there's a couple of links to you know, PayPal and stuff like that. We'll be right back. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Okay. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, go ahead and do so. We go live after every game. I would love to host Mavs parties and have some more, you know, interactive live shows like we've been doing, but, nobody's really watching live right now. That's okay. You know, Josh and I used to record, and now, you know, now we do it live and then we post the recording. So it doesn't really hurt my feelings, but, let's just say I understand. So I sort of talked about this because I think folks seeing Cooper not shoot threes is kind of frustrating them because teams are giving him the three-point shot right now. I just want to vocalize something that I think is a little bit important that we've moved past pretty quickly. Up until his freshman season at Duke, he was considered primarily a defensive-first prospect. We don't talk about that enough because he's really awesome at offense. Josh has indicated that he, you know, just looking at some of his earlier shooting, you can see that he's really reworked his shot. And that's a testament to both his skill level and his work ethic that he's been able to get where he is. I mean, tonight was his best jump shooting game since before he got hurt. But I do want to point out just from my point of view that if you, even he's 19 years old, he's played basketball his whole life, but he's also probably played within kind of a structure that he understands. And opening up that structure to more offensive responsibility, which is what he got at Duke, I think is weird. Like it you got to get used to being greenlit to take what might feel like a bad shot. You know, it's a different. If you've ever played basketball, and if you're not a particularly good shooter, and then if you fit, it's just got to be weird to go from being not a great shooter to being urged to take threes. And I just think that takes time. Like, he's willing to take the final shot. Like, there's no worry there about that, about those sorts of things, but he is passing up open threes to take 19 footers and to drive into traffic where there's no space. That will come with more time. He'll be just fine. That's where the kid letting him have the ball all the time will eventually work out. I'm just not sure it's best as a primary playmaker. So
yeah, no, I'm with you. And it's part of the lumps, you know, rookie lumps. Like, he'll get there. I mean, he was 2 of 4. Like, obviously you want him to shoot more.
Right.
But the fact that he was efficient with his attempts tonight is like a step in the right direction. I mean, what has he been shooting? I mean, I'm going to look it up now, but he has not been making, I mean, this is the first time he's made at least two threes since he came back from injury.
And that was before All-Star break.
Yeah, he was shooting 17% from three in the month of March entering tonight. Like,
so like having a little
four is kind of a big deal.
Right. So you forgive the yips isn't fair, but like just that lack of, okay, I'm going to go ahead and fire this one away. Like, not everybody, this is a challenge. Mavericks fans have been blessed watching some shooters over the years that have absolutely no conscience. And that can fray you a little bit, where you watch Tim Hardaway go 0 for 10 and be willing to take the game winner. Very few players have that. That's a special thing. Yeah. All right. What else was interesting about this game that I think is worth the damn? Not this isn't a good thing, but Daniel Gafford obviously left the game with the shoulder injury. Finished with 20 points, 7 boards, 5 assists. The Mavericks aren't exactly trying to, you know, I would say the players are trying to win, but institutionally, if he has to rest a few games, I don't necessarily think that would be the worst thing for their plans.
Yeah. Also kind of double-edged game, because he was obviously great scoring. 5 assists, 0 turnovers is great for your center.
But yeah.
He had 5 defensive rebounds in 32 minutes when your team gives up. When you're the starting center and your team gives up 17 offensive rebounds and 23 second chance points, that's kind of rough. Him and PJ combined for 8 defensive rebounds. That's really bad.
So amazing.
And those are your 2 vets. Well, you know, those are your guys. So
shout out to our guy, John. How do we say his name? Do we think that's it? John Pulikidis.
Yeah. Pulikidis.
Yeah. He was so on fire that my timeline all of a sudden was like, get that man out of the basketball game.
Yeah. I mean, kind of surprised he didn't play more yeah, than the 12 minutes. He's a two-way guy. Like, you can't,
yeah,
we talked about, like, the Mavericks are still losing, but it could get so much worse.
Oh yes, I mean, go look at the Memphis Grizzlies box score tonight. There's gonna be a
stretch of games where plays 22 minutes a night.
They just keep rolling out dudes. Like, there's an ethical nature to this. If we're getting into very internet basketball talk, where I feel like they're trying their best. Like, I don't really see what kid could have done any different other than maybe not play the two-way player. See, that doesn't make any damn sense. Like, not playing the two-way player if you're it's a wild deal. Shout out to Max Christie. That was a big 3-pointer in the clutch there.
He needed a good game. He'd be kind of for a while.
Yep.
I continue to be puzzled that teams didn't knock down the door for Klay Thompson, like contenders. Like, I just don't. I don't. Like, I'm now convinced that Detroit didn't trade for him because they have a front office guy. Oh my God, what's his name? He used to work for the Mavs. Now the Mavs might hire him back as GM. Dennis Lindsay. Yeah, I am now convinced that the reason Detroit did not trade for Klay Thompson at the trade deadline is because they were afraid of some sort of like tampering policy with the league. If like the Mavericks and Detroit made a trade and then Dennis Lindsay becomes the Mavericks GM, something like that. Because I'm just flabbergasted that Klay wasn't moved. And again, I know what the real, that's the conspiracy answer. The real answer is, either the teams didn't offer enough to move the needle, or Klay told the Mavs, I don't want to go anywhere, and they respected his wishes. But it is crazy to me that he is not going to be on a playoff team in a couple of weeks, considering how useful he still is and how great of a shooter he still is. And then the other thought I had watching this game was kind of coinciding with our point about Najee, Cooper, and PJ. Like, can you play all 3 of those guys together? And is the spacing ever going to be good enough if those are like three of your main cogs? You know, are the Mavericks going to regret not selling high on Najee? Again, he didn't, I mean, he didn't have like an awful game, although, you know, 7 of 15 and 8 turnovers is not great. But like, again, he's probably not going to be around when on the next great Mavericks team with Cooper Flag.
Right.
So is there, you know, I just wonder if that's going to be something we look back on and be like, man, remember when his stock was sky high at the 2026 trade deadline? And
yeah, you
know, see what happens there. But that's, you know, that's just a stray thought that entered my head. It's not,
it's not a terrible one. Now Brandon Williams will come back at some point from the concussion and add a little zest.
That would help. That would help. Yeah.
Is there just Ryan Nemhard is getting 17 minutes? He goes out there and he orchestrates an offense, but teams are just like, good luck, brother. You are 4 feet, 11 inches tall. Shoot the jumper. We don't care.
Yep. Oh, and then the last thing I thought was, holy crap, Gary Payton was so good in that game.
Yeah, really?
He was so good in that game. He did everything. Like, he was setting screens. I mean, he hit a corner, back-breaking corner three. I think that was I can't remember if that was in overtime or the fourth quarter, but either way, it was a huge shot down the stretch. 3 assists. He had 2 steals.
Yeah.
He's so good as an off ball. Like, he's like a guard wing that's like a rim runner, like in a weird way. Like, he's such a good off ball cutter. I know he can't really shoot. I mean, he made 1 3, but he doesn't shoot. But man, that's just one of those guys that seems to have a nose for like winning plays. He had a really good game. He was very noticeable in his 21 minutes when he was on the floor.
Yeah. Now it's Warriors play such different basketball compared to everybody else. That's worth tuning in just to give them a little look-see. Just the most Kristaps ass Porzingis game I've seen in years. 29 minutes from him. Glad to see him playing.
Yeah. At least he's playing.
Concerned. He was moving. One of the things that I will be bitter about forever is like watching Porzingis actually move the ball with some, immediacy was nice to see. Like, he was just such a black hole in Dallas. Like, he passed the ball, that ball wasn't coming out unless he didn't have a choice. And
I think it was the stage of his career. Like, he was
for sure.
I think, you know, he has enough self-awareness now to know he's not, you know,
but he made good passes. Like, he had a you know, he gets a ball in kind of the mid post to the short corner area out on one side. He faces, like, he went on a post up, faces up and immediately recognizes a backside kick out on the opposite wing for a three. And you're probably thinking, yeah, so what? He's 7'4". He should be doing this. He didn't do that as a Maverick. And so it was just kind of cool to see, even though the Mavericks lost. All right, so Mavericks are back with another basketball game against the Nuggets. And this is a late game. That is tomorrow. Fuck. I'm tired. God, I don't even know if we have anybody on the preview. That shows how Josh and I are definitely like ready for the rest of the regular season. I'm usually all like tally ho, but I'm just a little bit unnecessarily tired after the March I've had. Okay. You got anything else?
I'm good.
All right, let's go. Yeah, everybody be good. Thanks so much for hanging out here with Pod Maverick. We will talk to you guys probably tomorrow night. And I bet that game ends earlier than this one, 9 o'clock start time for us. Everybody be good. Go Mavs.